Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We're glad you could join us today. We're continuing our lesson today that we started last time about Jesus being condemned to death. But while he was standing before Pilate, there was another one that was standing next to him, and that was Barabbas. And we see the most amazing parallel as we read Leviticus chapter 16, where we see that two goats are brought before the Lord. One is chosen to be a scapegoat, and one is chosen of the Lord to be a sacrifice. And we see the fulfillment of this when Jesus stood before Pilate and was condemned. Barabbas was allowed to go free. From this, we could see some very, very interesting lessons that are so contrary to our thinking today. but are so apparent in this verse and in Leviticus 16. The scapegoat, or the one not chosen of God, is allowed to live undisturbed. The scapegoat was let loose in the wilderness of sin. He was left uncorrected, unchastised, undisciplined, and he was allowed to live in sin without facing the discipline of God. But the one that was chosen for the Lord was crucified. This is an exact representation of the church today and the example that we are to follow. We see that throughout all of history, those who have been chosen of God, who have followed after Jesus with all of their heart, they have faced crucifixion. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me." And there is a literal picking up of the cross in many countries today. If you would become a believer and a follower of Jesus, you will face almost certain death. Now, when Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross," he did not mean if you happen to be in one of those countries, and if you aren't, then you don't have to pick up your cross. He did not say that. It is universal. There is a cross to pick up if you are going to be a follower of Jesus. Now, the cross that we face in North America is a different cross, but it is a cross nevertheless. The cross that must be applied to our life is the cross of crucifying the sins that are in our life. The sinful nature has to be put to death. And that means that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to examine us and to show us where we are sinning, that we might bring it to God and confess it. God requires change, real change in our lives, that we would put sin to death in our lives. This is not a very popular area today. We really don't address sin today. We just want to focus on God being just so full of love that he doesn't require any change of us. Well, let me tell you, it's very easy to see why that is a false notion, and that is, take any ordinary parent. Any ordinary parent loves their child no matter what they do, but they certainly don't want them to become hellions, and they don't want them to become rebellious and to speak back to their parents, to talk down to them, to be full of cursing, swearing, and walking away from God. No, they want them to become good kids. And so God is the same way. Our Heavenly Father, he loves us, yes, indeed, but he wants us to become good kids. So part of the crucifixion that we must face as believers is that we must allow the sin to be crucified in our lives. Now, when I got saved in the Jesus movement, which was a revival that was truly of the Holy Spirit. And how do I know that it was truly of the Holy Spirit? Because as soon as I got saved and those around us in the Jesus movement got saved, we immediately were convicted by the Holy Spirit that our lives needed to be cleaned up, that the sin had to stop. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we had to have a new life. And so he brought about the conviction of sin. And that's why we're so big on revival. I believe in revival, and I want to see the work of God visiting us so that we would become dead to sin and alive to Christ. Now, there's all kinds of sin in our lives, especially today in the Western Hemisphere, where basically anything goes. We live a very loose lifestyle. We're involved in all the things of the world, the passions of the world, the passions of the flesh, the pride of life. We're seeking after the things of the world. We love the things of the world. And we have given our heart to the world. And we don't even realize that it is a direct conflict with the greatest commandment, which is that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That we would love the Lord more than the world. And so we have all these different areas of sin in our lives that need to be crucified. What are these areas? Well, there are very open graphic sins in our lives. Adultery, drunkenness, abuse, violence, all these different things. These are open sins that we know are wrong. We need the Lord to crucify them from our lives. We must allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on these things, that we would bring them to the altar and that he'd burn them up. But we have very many more sins that are just below the surface. You know, we look at ourselves, and if we're not murdering somebody, we think we're just fine and that we're pretty upstanding and we're good Christians. We go to church and we haven't killed anybody. That is not so. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, if we so much as hold a grudge or anger or resentment against someone, we have committed the same sin as murder. We have murdered them in our hearts. And so God is very concerned about our heart attitude. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our heart and to see where we might be holding resentment or bitterness or anger towards someone, and we must confess it. It is not optional. We look at ourselves and we think, oh, we're pretty good. We go to church. We don't commit adultery. And to that I say, you probably commit adultery 100 times a day in your heart, because the Lord says whatever we think is the same as what we do. If we so much as look with lust at someone, we have committed the sin of adultery. Now you think about the content of your media and the things that stimulate your imagination and your passions when you're on the internet, when you're playing your video games, when you're watching your movies or whatever you're doing. You just think about the passions that are being stirred up in you. You'll most likely find that except for maybe a few moments during the day, possibly at night when you're sleeping, all the rest of the time, you're involved with some form of sinful thought. And in our current church, no one addresses this because it's out of fashion to talk about sin, especially the sins of the heart. But these things are very much on the heart of God, and God would have us to be pure in heart. Remember, it's the pure in heart that will see God. So God wants a purity that goes beyond just not committing adultery physically with someone. He wants us to have a pure heart that doesn't commit adultery in our heart. And believe me, this is a great work today. This is a consuming work, because lustful images are in our face everywhere we look. And we need a real cleansing of the Holy Spirit, a real work that he would burn up all these lustful thoughts that come into our minds. And when we encounter a lustful image or something that causes us to think lustful thoughts, it is not okay to leave them there. It is not okay to dwell on those thoughts. God requires of us that we would run from sin. He requires that we would run from the sins of our heart and the lustful thoughts of our imagination. And so we must run to God and say, oh God, please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please make me a new creature in Christ. Please make me a blameless, innocent child of God in the midst of a perverse generation. Please, Lord, make me that new creature that seeks the things that are above and good and pure and holy. This is a great work. And so applying the cross of Christ means allowing the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts to see where we are stumbling in our thoughts as well as in our actions. Where are we stumbling in our words as well as in our action? Where are we stumbling in our attitude? These are the things that mean everything to God, because whatever we think, whatever is in our heart, that is what we are to God. Man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart. God is always looking at our heart. And so there is nothing for us to do. There is no wiggle room. There is no place for us to squirm. There's no way that we can gloss over these things. We must confront these things head on and say, God, I am a sinner. Lord, my thoughts are continually running to sin. Lord, I run to the cross and I lay these things down before you and I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And we take refuge in the word of God in 1 John, where it says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the way that we deal with sin. This is the way we go to the cross. This is how we apply the cross of Christ to our life. We allow the sin to be crucified. If we let the sin go and we don't address it, do not expect that the grace of God will just cover it. The grace of God covers sins that we repent of. If we don't repent of them and we do hold on to them and we try to gloss over them, do not think that the grace of God covers that. And there's lots of teaching going on today that is misleading people that we don't need to repent. If you hear someone saying that we don't need to repent, that it offends the grace of God, turn it off. Just click that station right off and don't listen. Pick up the gospel instead and read the gospel of Matthew and then read the New Testament and see if you will come up with that same conclusion. You will not. The sin that we have must be repented of, but if it is repented of, the grace of God is a bottomless ocean to us. It is inexhaustible. And that means if we stumble 100 times during the day, if we look at that lustful image again, 100 times a day, that we are seeing things that are stimulating the wrong passions in us, and we go to God 101 times and say, Lord, I can't believe I stumbled again. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please cover me with your blood. And that is a person who is still completely right with God, who is the recipient of the immeasurable grace of God. For repented sin, there is no end to God's compassion and his cleansing. But you cannot gloss over it. You cannot let it go. You cannot say, everyone around me is doing this. Oh, this is just our culture. This is not going to cut it with God. He expects us to address sin. He expects us to deal with it. He expects us to deal with our bitterness, with our grudge bearing, with our unkind words. He expects us to deal with the violence of our anger, with the violence that is in our heart, that is promoted by all the things that we see. He expects us to deal with it, that we might become those blameless, innocent children of God. This is the cross of Christ in North America today. This is the cross of Christ. No one is accepted. No one is accepted from applying the cross of Christ so that we become pure in the thoughts of our heart as well as in our action. This is required of us all. God wants to make us fragrant. God wants to make us to become good kids that are fit for the kingdom of heaven. There's no violence and lust in heaven. If there's violence and lust in our heart in heaven, we don't fit in. We belong in hell if we're consumed with lust and we haven't dealt with it. In fact, we wouldn't even want to be in heaven because heaven is full of purity. And so if we have harbored all this lust and violence in our heart, we would hate heaven. Everyone there is full of purity and love, and no one wants harm to befall anyone. And so you have to think carefully about this. Are you more suitable for heaven or are you more suitable for hell? If you're more suitable for hell, get on your knees. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a citizen of heaven. Give me the attitude of heaven. Give me the heart attitude that is pleasing to you, that will fit in with my heavenly home. Lord, I want to be with you. This is the sign of real revival. This is the sign of real Christianity. This is not Christianity in word, but Christianity in deed. This is becoming a doer of the word, that we confront the sin that is in our lives. Now, this is only one area where we need to apply the cross of Christ. And in the next lesson, we're going to cover another area, and it's going to be pretty shocking to you. So put on your seatbelt and get ready to be challenged to become a doer of the word. The cross of Christ goes very deep, and it makes us really examine our hearts. So make sure you tune back in next week while we cover more of what it means to be the chosen of God, the sacrificed one, the one that is pleasing to God. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are convicted of our sins. Lord, we see that we have fallen so short in our attitude, in our heart, Lord, and we want to be those blameless, innocent children of God. So we come before you without any squirming or hiding. We come before you with complete honesty. We say, Lord, help us. We need your help. Lord, we want to be men and women of God, but we need your help. So we ask you to burn up these things. We confess our sins openly to you. Lord, forgive us, sinners that we are. Cleanse us of our sin and make us new creatures in Christ. Lord, we don't hide anything. We don't gloss over anything. We just open up our heart and say, Lord, this is who we are. Please deal with it. Please cleanse us. Please make us fragrant and pleasing to you. Lord, we need your help so bad. May revival begin in my life. May revival begin in my family. May revival begin with me right now. Lord, may you visit my house. May you visit my town. May you visit my school. May you visit my church. Lord, may you send down the rain of righteousness and visit us, O Lord, and restore our land, starting with me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website. You're the living water.
Thatcher's crowd.